to the update on progress on consolidating wastewater management projects on the Samoa Peninsula, Humboldt County, with Mr. Charles Reed and Paul Mosher.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We're lucky today to have with us Paula Mushrush from the Humboldt County Planning Department. She's shepherding a major infrastructure improvement project proposed for the Samoa Peninsula. This project is intended to support redevelopment and improve wastewater treatment on the peninsula. Regional Board staff has been interested in working for a long time to get wastewater improvements on the peninsula, and we're very, very happy to see the county so intimately involved with this process now. And we're very happy that Paula has been assigned to this position because she's very well qualified and just the right person for it. And with that, I think I will leave it to politics.
Good afternoon, everybody. First of all, I want to explain who I am. My name is Paula Mushrush, and I do work for the County Planning and Building Department, and my specialty is housing and grants. And somehow, grants always seem to make it into my lap to administer. So this isn't, the actual technical portion of it is not my specialty. What I am able to do is get a lot of varied people in the room and work towards consensus. So as I move forward, if there are specific questions, I may have to defer to others on those. So today I'm going to cover a little bit of the history, talk a little bit about the Samoa Town Master Plan, talk about the Humboldt Bay Harbor and Recreation and Conservation District and their efforts on their work, talk about Fairhaven and Fintown, and over all of this there is also a LAFCO process going on with the CST. Talk a little bit about what we're doing with the assessment and what we hope to solve, and then some of the challenges and opportunities and next steps. So, with that, how do we turn this here?
Hello.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Point towards the
point
black
towards
thing on
that.
The wall.
Okay. Okay.
Pretty awful.
Is it working?
Turn the down button.
Down button? Neither of them are working. Does it need to be turned on? Okay.
Okay. If you want, I'll do it for you. Just tell me next.
Okay. I'll just nod. Thank you. I can't seem to do it. Like I said, technology is my. So if we can go to the next slide, please. Okay. I wanted to give you a brief history of this Samoa Peninsula. I'm sure John knows this since he's from Humboldt County, but some of you don't. So there was a lot of development in the late 1800s on the Samoa Peninsula. And it was, and they had housing, post office, and kind of an active community, and there was actually a rail line. It was pretty popular. And it was on the bay, so it could export goods. The sawmills, plywood, pulp mills, all of it were thriving in the mid-1900s, and then near by 2000, they had almost virtually died out, and there were hardly any. That was mostly due to timber harvesting ending, the headwaters sale, and things like that. In 2002, the Samoa Pacific Group purchased the town of Samoa with great plans on redeveloping it. They're still working on that. In 2013, the Humboldt Bay Harbor, I'll just call them Humboldt Bay Harbor District. They actually acquired one of the mills, and they have been redeveloping and improving that for dock access. And in 2016, the Samoa Fire Protection District applied to LAFCO to become a service district and oversee all of the services out on the, including recreation, water, and all those areas. So that's kind of a brief history. Then I wanted to show you a map. So some of the things I'm going to talk about. The top is the town of Samoa. And we'll talk a little bit more on that one. And then the second one is the Humboldt Bay Harbor District, and that's the one that they're redeveloping for the to get the dock working. And then down here is what's called Fairhaven Fintown. To the right, where you see the blue at the top, that's actually Fintown, and at the bottom is Fairhaven. Sometimes they're called one. They were at one point there were all houses along there, and then right in the middle a mill came in and cut it, and that's now the Fairhaven Business Park. So as we move on to the next slide, please. So the Samoa town was bought by Samoa Pacific Group. They saw it as an opportunity to redevelop it and really make a great town. Unfortunately, they got their plans ready, started with their entitlements, and they're still working on that now. They hope to subdivide and sell the existing homes that are there. They're all cute little company towns. I don't know if anybody's been out to Samoa. And they're really working on cleaning those up right now. They've actually got some EPA grants, and they're trying to stop the town from deteriorating any further and improve it. Their long-term plans is they'd like to subdivide the houses, subdivide property, and build new houses. But to do that, they need wastewater improvement. So they're considering how they fit into this whole project, which is, as we go forward, you'll see how they fit in there, particularly in regards to LAFCO. And so I want to show the next. So that's what the houses looked like before, and that's what they look like now. I just thought that's a cute picture. You can see they've actually done a nice job taking them and getting rid of the dilapidation, but they all have lead-based paint, so the Coastal Commission is requiring them to strip the paint, get rid of it around the drip line, and then, so each house is about $30,000 to rehab. Next. So then we have the Harbor District. So the Harbor District had, in 2012, a wonderful meeting with about 200 people, and they talked a lot about how they would use this new 72-acre site they bought. They looked at it for economic development opportunities. They looked at it for recreation. What could they do with this that would make the dock be reusable? So they upgraded the dock, and they upgraded the buildings with new market tax credit. They've got a beautiful redwood facility out there. It's gorgeous. I don't know if anybody got to tour it yesterday, but it really is nice. And they've expanded the aquaculture quite a bit, and they're doing oysters. In fact, 75% of the oysters produced in California come from our bay. It's the cleanest bay in the whole state, so we are really happy with that, which is one of the reasons why we're talking to you today. So for them, the long term, they have an ocean outfall pipe, and the ocean outfall pipe is transmitting the wastewater out about a mile and a half into the ocean. And one of the things that's happening is that is deteriorating because it's not being used. There aren't enough users to afford to repair it. And so that's an issue. And I understand from talking to Roy that in the 1970s there was an effort to get that to happen, but it didn't. So let's go on to the next one. This is the that's a picture of all the damage. That's what they took over. And the only thing they're really using is those front buildings up there. The rest of that is basically unusable. And those piles are all sorted into toxic. They've gotten about $10 million in EPA grants to clean that up. Let's go on to the next picture. And there's the oyster beds. So you can see there's new docking. It's a really nice facility now. And that's the aquaculture that has increased, which was the goal. So now back to this picture. So we've been to the top two. We're now going to go down to Fairhaven and Fintown, talk a little bit about that. So the issue with Fairhaven and Fintown is it's constrained by topography. It's a small community, mostly of older homes. There's currently about 69 active residents. There might be more houses out there, but those are the ones that are active. The number of potential houses is in dispute because it's unclear. You'll see on the map there's about 200 lots, but the question is, are they buildable or not? It depends on whether they did it correctly originally when they did the subdivision. If not, if it wasn't properly done, they would have to come in for a variance. They'd have to go through the Coastal Commission, and it would likely not get approved. The oversight agencies, there's two concerns they have. One is that it is in the tsunami zone, and there needs to be a solution to that. They're currently working and planning on the peninsula on how to deal with that. The second one is there's a lot of failing septic systems. And they're failing. People are getting charged to have them inspected. Some of them are being shut down. And these are people's houses, and some of these people have inherited their houses and, you know, are still living there. So this brings us to why we're here. So let's move on to the wastewater concept. We're trying to see if there's a cost-effective path forward for this, for the maintenance and the development. To start with, we have the Harbor District, which has this ocean outfall pipe, which is being underutilized. The Samoa Pacific Group has a treatment facility currently in the planning stages, and they already have one. Fairhaven is evaluating a collection system and to improve the environmental conditions and so they can live more comfortably. The Samoa Fire District is becoming a community service district, which would include wastewater as well as water and all the other services that are out there. Everybody on the peninsula agrees they're willing to have them take over. And then, so all of the entities have actually received grant funding separately for various different pieces of it, but we haven't looked at it all together. Is there a way they can all work together? There are environmental challenges. We have to look at the options for collection, particularly Fairhaven and Fintown, which are in their septic systems are in the most disarray and have the most effect to damage our bay with failing systems. So we need an options for collection, transmission, treatment, and discharge. We need to identify the most cost-effective option. So we have applied for a planning grant, and we are currently working on that. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the challenges right away, topography. I talked a little bit about that. It's an environmentally sensitive habitat out there. And the old mills that were along there, that if you look on that picture, you'll see all this industrial land. It's just a wasteland. You drive down there and you'll see an old building here and an old damaged building there and concrete. Well, as those deteriorate, if they don't get reused, they will actually create more ESHA. And what we want to do is fix it before it goes too far. There's another challenge is there's a relatively small user base for a system that would go out in Fairhaven and Fintown. And also, it's a geographically large area trying to connect together. Another challenge is there's underutilized coastal development land. So there's nobody is able to use them because there isn't enough coastal dependent activities that could go on out there. Right now, there's over 1,000 acres of coastal dependent zoned property that you can't do coastal related. It can't be, I want to, you know, do, you know, Presto logs and ship them, therefore I need a bay. It has to be, I'm going to extract salt from the sea and make salt from the sea, or I'm going to do fishing. So there's only about 6 acres that are currently being used for aquaculture, and yet there's over 1,000 acres, and they will continue to deteriorate if they're not used. Another challenge is that different entities are at different levels. Samoa Town is ready to move forward, and yet some of these other places are just evaluating it. I think there's individual interests without a consolidated plan. I think that's a challenge. And then a lot of those, if you flip it over, can be opportunities. I think everybody on the peninsula wants to solve this. All the owners, all the developers, everybody wants to solve it. There's a lot of interest in funders to solve this problem, including yourselves. But there's other people that are interested in solving the situation. The Coastal Commission is concerned, and others. The outfall pipe has additional capacity. The newly formed CSD will be great because it will function like other communities as a sort of city center. You know, McKinleyville has a service district which is almost like a city. With business development, there would be increased jobs and tax base, and then that would also help pay for some of offsetting the cost to the individual households out there. And there is a need for housing development because there's a lot of housing shortage in Humboldt County, as with a lot of candidates. So let's move on to next steps, and then I'll take questions. So provided there is a cost-effective way forward, we would be going for Prop 1 construction grant application to your board, to this board. We would also be looking at the DWR. The Economic Development Administration had expressed interest in getting that, keeping, maintaining the dock and expanding the aquaculture, so they may be interested in the outfall pipe. And we, of course, would research other funding. We are also working actively with the Coastal Commission on an interim use for the coastal dependent land to allow coastal related, not just coastal dependent. And we are looking at a permanent solution. There is a tsunami hazard planning which is going on right now. And then the city of Eureka is evaluating their system and the sea level rise and the effect that it would have on their wastewater system, which is already needs to be improved. And so the outfall pipe may help that in the long run. So that's my presentation.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Anybody have comments or questions?
I have a quick question. It's been years since I've been out there. How wide is that peninsula?
Oh, I don't know.
I can answer that.
Okay.
Between about a half a mile and 1 mile wide.
Okay. And
yeah.
How long?
About 5 miles long.
5 miles.
The area that we're talking about.
And what is that? That just a big spit of sand then?
It is.
It's ocean deposited sand that current just deposits out there.
Yep. 100% sand.
And as far as elevation, what's the highest point of average elevation?
So the highest dunes in the northern part of the peninsula are around 60 feet high. And as you go south, they get lower down to about 20-foot average dune height, and so dunes in the lower areas. So and where Fairhaven is, the dunes are roughly 45 to 50 feet. So.
let's start on this a little smaller scale. First of all, the regional board, when we did our first water quality plan, we had envisioned a pipeline being financed really by Arcadia McKinleyville, coming down because they knew the community couldn't afford it on their own. And that regional project exploded. It hasn't been heard from for many decades. A little bit painting the picture, this is a very poor community. If you were to drive there and the houses are spruced up, it is very poor. The public health went in. They probably could just start condemning however much they wanted to test. And so, but it does involve hundreds of people, and that whole area has that similar problem. And that cries out to be fixed. And their biggest problem is they're on a sensitive sand dune, and they don't have the numbers. But I do think, and I worry about the tsunami, I don't know quite how to answer that, but again, this is how many decades has no one been able to come up with an economic solution. And so I think we ought to be very encouraged that we are starting to come together with a positive solution. And if someone's doing this, you're going to end up financing some additional development out of there. That's a fact of life to pay for stuff. But I would hope that we can find a way to cooperate or come up with a magic solution. But I can tell you for 40 years, no one has been able to find a solution. And I thought Paula Mushrush described it perfectly. They just kept deteriorating year after year after year. And they were, they were fine homes. People worked in them, but they worked in the mills. They weren't, built like a regular house would be today. And so they deteriorate and they aren't fixed up. It's a real problem. So I appreciate your extreme optimism of bringing everybody together. Although I think if there's one person that could do it, it's you.
And Troy.
I appreciate both of you. And I do want to support that we find a way of moving forward to deal with a tragically long-standing problem that isn't good.
I liken it somewhat to redevelopment. You know, when you have an old town and the first person has to fix it up, and sometimes they have to do some infrastructure improvements. You know, they fix the road, they put in a little, you know, center area. Once that's done, the other follows. And I kind of feel like that's what this is, because the area is beautiful. I don't know if anybody's been out on it. Just don't look at all the ugly buildings over there. But if you can look past the ugly buildings, it's very pretty. So,
Paula, thank you for that. It was very interesting. The one thing I'm sitting here thinking about is you mentioned sea level rise, and somebody mentioned it's a spit of sand. From my own experience in Mendocino County, I've seen where sea level rise has taken out some roads, it's taken out some sand dunes. Is this a community that 35, 40 years down the road could literally be washed away at a king tide or an emperor tide?
I would like Troy to answer that. He's with NOAA.
Okay. I just, you know, if we think about redevelopment, we're thinking decades down the line, what might we be facing there?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So my name is Troy McLinney. I'm chair of the board for the Peninsula Community Services District that I say is nascent. We plan to go to public hearing shortly. But I'm currently the chair of the Fire District Board. But in my day job, I work for the National Weather Service. I run the local National Weather Service office. So the sea level rise question, as well as the tsunami question, I think was brought up, are both really good questions. And, you know, the 50-year horizon is, we expect around 2 feet. That's the mid-range of sea level rise for that area. And so the question about elevation is really important. When you drive out there, it can be really misleading. It all seems very low. But most of the homes in Samoa range in 30 to 50 foot elevation. All the homes are really quite high in Samoa. And the homes in Fairhaven are mostly at the 5 to 20 foot elevation, so they're actually pretty high too. So the homes are, in fact, out of that sea level rise zone. There are some exceptions. I actually live in one of them. I'm in about 4 feet. You'd think I would know better considering my job, but most of the homes are above that threat from sea level rise. But it will elevate the water table, which I think would exacerbate the wastewater treatment need. I mean, really, right now the water table in much of Fairhaven is very close to the surface anyway. As sea level rises, that water table will just rise with it. So, but a very, very good concern. The town looks like it will survive 50 to 100 years of sea level rise.
Okay. Even with you know, extreme spring tides or storm surge, you know, things pushing the water.
Yeah, interestingly, you know, I'm a forecaster, not a climatologist, and we always like to remind people climate change is not just about the gradual change in things like temperature and sea level rise, but the change in the episodic nature of the storms that we get exposed to. So that is a real concern, the storm surge as well as the waves that might come on the back of the storm surge. And that's where the communities of the peninsula are in some ways blessed, because they're all on the eastern side of the peninsula, so they're not exposed to the erosive force of large storms that would come on top of that sea level rise. So, very good question, and our defense is really those 20, 30, and 40-foot dunes that separate the community from the ocean.
Except for your house.
Well, I'm on the bay side. I'm alone, yeah. It's also a pretty good barrier against tsunami. In the early maps, that, you know, if you hear from the 2011 Tohoku in Japan, you hear 100-foot tsunami waves. South of the Oregon border, this part of our tsunami region, every new evidence comes out suggests we're going to see smaller and smaller tsunamis, not larger and larger. And they're now at around 25 to 27 feet. And you recall I said there's 30-foot dunes, so I'm feeling safer and safer on the backside of the peninsula in a catastrophic tsunami event. The 1,500-year recurrence interval tsunami just puts about a foot of water in my house, and my house is the lowest house on the entire peninsula. So we're in better shape than you might think at first blush. But those are both great concerns.
I'm thinking you might have got a good deal on that house. So I got a question. This is a community with hundreds of individual septic systems that are in various states of repair and disrepair.
Yes, and I live in Fairhaven. That's probably I think John described it as a bunch of houses on sensitive sand habitat. That's, I would add, it's hydraulically connected directly to the bay. I mean, it's so porous. And living there, honestly, before I was aware of this, I just thought, wow, I got, you know, beachfront property in California. It's amazing. But I did get a good deal. But now that I'm more aware, I realize every time I flush my toilet, basically, it's going into the sand and it's making its way to the bay relatively quickly. And in fact, we just had some of your staff on the Fairhaven Beach. It's a sandy, beautiful beach that it borders the town there. And there were 85 Pacific black brant on the beach. And they fly straight down from the Aleutian Islands to Humboldt Bay to eat sand that they can put in their gizzards so they can grind up the eelgrass that they eat for food. And here they were gritting up on our beach. And I pointed out that, yeah, that's where our concern now comes from, that the brant, the fish, the entire ecosystem. Half the town now knows, I mean, there's an awareness that's growing that our septics are directly connected to the bay and the water table, and it's a really dire situation out there.
So then from the standpoint of engineered solutions here, what would it be, a collection system with a small package treatment plant? Best of all worlds, hook it into the outfall, and we go on with life.
Yeah, that's the favorite alternative. Basically.
And that's the same. That's the same line that the Somal pulp mill was on, that they run Ruth Lake water through, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
The water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed, I think DFA's here today with us at a state board. Is that correct? And I would imagine they were on your tour yesterday.
They were on the beach. So they got to see the black brand.
And so you've got the right assembled team. There's no doubt about it.
I did want to mention the ocean outfall, which was designed to have water coming down to prevent it being sanded and all kinds of things, is a real resource, because if you don't have that, then you're talking bay discharge. And so within the priorities of the state of California, not that we don't want to protect our oceans, and not that there's no major emphasis on that, that again is a major plus some option that needs to be maintained as long as possible, because otherwise then we're faced with the situation that happened with Eureka when Arcata's marsh was approved. Then they go through the legal fiction, and that's what it is, discharging on the outgoing tide so that it's considered compliance-based estuaries. And of course, the tests show that's pretty shaky too. But what I'm trying to say is I don't want to build a further problem on that there is a chance to upgrade it, and then they're only left with bay discharge. So I, again, think the outfall preservation, if possible, I wouldn't hold the whole thing up on it, is a valuable resource to prevent other more negative options.
Yeah, I think that's well said, and that reflects the sentiment of the community on the peninsula. And it's a narrow window to use that outfall pipe before it falls into disrepair and can never be revived.
Right. Well, at the same time, you, as far as the CSD, so you said you're part of the fire department, but just stepping up to be a larger master CSD here, it seems like that makes great sense. At the same time, having the small disadvantaged community here is somewhat helpful from a funding sense as qualification. Timelines, if you guys were going to get traction on this and potentially move through this, just broad horizons, what do you think timelines look like here?
I would like to say that the studies could be done in 6 to 9 months. I'm being told from the engineers that's closer to a year and a half, and then we would immediately come in for funding. As far as the outfall pipe goes, there's other questions as far as with Samoa, and Troy and I are hoping to meet with the Samoa Pacific Group and talk to them a little more about tying into the outfall, which would really help keep it alive. In the meantime, like I said, the Economic Development Administration, if they have funding, has been interested in that. So I think that what we would do right from here is start looking at the outfall pipe. What do we need to do to get it ready to host Samoa while this study is going on for Fairhaven? And then it would move that in. I mean, that's what we'd like to see in, I don't know what, 4 years, maybe?
Well, but again, you've got all the right ingredients, at least in play right now, it sounds like. So that sounds great. Any other questions, comments? I've got a couple speaker cards. If I might ask some people to come up, and we'll see what we get here otherwise. I have a speaker card for Dan Johnson, please.
Yeah, he was here earlier, but couldn't stay.
Okay, sorry about that. Troy Nicolini.
And that was me. From
Troy
Nicolini. I like you.
We're rocking here.
The one point I didn't get a chance to make is that on behalf of the community and the fire board and the we've had public meetings about the CSD formation and about wastewater treatment and about the community. There is broad-based support in the community for the CSD formation, for improving services, and looking at the long-term perspective on the peninsula. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, fantastic. I have one last paper card on this, which is it Kathy or Katie Moley? And actually, I have one more beyond that. I apologize, Jennifer Cole.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. Kathy Moley with Pacific Watershed Associates. I worked as a consultant on wastewater up and down the peninsula on a variety of different projects and even outside of the wastewater world. And I just wanted to bring reiterate to you the critical importance of having a consolidated wastewater system on the peninsula. Due to existing and potential residences on the property on the peninsula, the extremely high quality of recreation that exists on the peninsula on a variety of different things. There's BLM properties out there. There's the Coast Guard station. There's drag strip out there. There's all kinds of things to do. There's birding. There's fishing. There's boating. Everything. And the sensitivity of the bay itself to the environmental impacts that the recreation and the residential and industrial impacts to the bay, and that having a consolidated, integrated wastewater system out there and getting it out of the bay and into the ocean is just critical for this, the longevity and potential growth. And without this, it's just going to kind of stay in its dilapidated sense, and nothing's going to get fixed. So I encourage this to stay on the top of the water board's thought process and supporting these wonderful folks here that are put together as a team. And that's what I have to say.
Thank you very much.
I was looking on Google Earth at the sandbar and looking at the features. One of those on the southern part was an airport. Is that still functioning?
Yeah, that's the Eureka City Municipal Airport, actually owned by the city of Eureka. It is a functioning airport.
Are there other airports in the area?
There is one in Fortuna and in Eureka on the other side of the bay. There's another airport.
So, and then McKinley
though, for
emergency services.
For emergency services, that airport would be critical. Because in the event of a large earthquake or something like that, the peninsula is projected to be fairly isolated. Certainly in those early hours and days before the bridges start to kind of come back. Bridges will be air bridges and boats that come back and forth as soon as the harbor comes back into life. But having those critical facilities, again, there's a Coast Guard station and there's airport facilities, there's BLM locations, industries, and lots of residences. So this will really go a long ways towards improving life on the peninsula.
Great, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer Cole. That's the last speaker card I have for this.
Good afternoon, I'm Jennifer Cole with Humboldt Baykeeper. And I agree with everything Kathy just said. I won't repeat that, but some other things I would just want to say about the outfall and this whole concept is another reason it's really important to deal with the existing and former developed sites out there, as many of them are contaminated sites. And I'm not sure if it's come across your radar yet, but the cannabis entrepreneurs are recycling a lot of the old lumber mills that are contaminated around Humboldt Bay. And, you know, with the ability to have a wastewater treatment system that's functioning well, some of these sites could be cleaned up and also become, you know, functioning economic development projects. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is sea level rise. You raised the issue of sea level rise and developing on the spit. But another, you know, I understand the history of the sewer war, as we call them, back in the 70s, of having a regional sewage system with one outfall in the ocean, and you know, a lot of the thinking has changed around the idea of not just discharging all that wastewater into Humboldt Bay, but also our two largest cities, Eureka and Arcata, both their wastewater treatment facilities are very close to sea level rise, and they're both looking at very expensive upgrades right now. And something that's come up quite a bit is the Coastal Commission, you know, is trying to protect public expenditures for long-lived public infrastructure projects that are going to be at risk from sea level rise. And so these cities are becoming kind of between a rock and a hard place between this board and the Coastal Commission, which is not going to just say, sure, go ahead, spend $40 million to upgrade the Arcata wastewater treatment facility. And so this is something really important to consider as we move forward to try and rectify the wastewater exceedances and the problems that they keep having at the Arcata wastewater treatment facility. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Okay. You can do it.
I just...
Fascinating subject. I really appreciated your comments and getting back to what was said earlier. So I envision the sand spit that ever wants to shift and move, and dunes moving, and water coming up underground and over the top. This board is challenged with a number of communities whose homes were built in floodplains 100 years ago. And that was back in the day when you could, alter a creek bed by just getting a dozer in there and clearing the creek. And so that's why, I used to think 50 years was a long time, and now I realize it goes by like that. And so I'm just trying to think ahead, and okay, obviously there's a lot of passion for this project. It's a beautiful spot. I've been out there. But how do we get in our consciousness that 50 years will be here in a long time, and there's tectonic uplift going on in the bay, there's sea rise changes, there's a lot going on out there. And so I just, I'm really glad to hear that you're projecting out that far. You're thinking about what it's going to take to be a stable community, physically stable community, over the next multiple decades. So I'm sure I can't speak for the board, but I can speak for myself, and if there's a way I can support you, I certainly would do that.
Well, just to clarify, there can be tectonic uplift during big earthquakes, but generally the Humboldt Bay area is experiencing tectonic subsidence, and so we're experiencing twice the rate of sea level rise as the rest of the state because the ground under the bay is sinking at the same rate that sea level is rising, and so it's...
Is that even across the entire length of the bay?
No, it's subsiding more at in the southern extent of the bay.
Right.
Yeah, and then by the time you get up to Crescent City, the ground is uplifting at the
right.
same rate as sea level rise, so their relative sea level rise rate is effectively zero. Kathy knows probably more about that.
If I could comment.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, this is where it gets exciting when we really start talking about stuff. There's been a lot. I've been very versed in the earthquake and tsunami world up here on the North Coast for the last 2.5 decades or more. The spit, particularly in most of the spit, has been looked at very closely. There is no evidence of the peninsula being overtopped by waves, tsunamis, and so it's in existence for greater than 300 years. There is evidence that the bays, South Bay and North Bay, may be subsiding, where the community of Eureka is actually growing in elevation. It's because of the fold and thrust belts of the Cascadia subduction zone, what's going up and what's going down. You can take an area like Arcata Marsh area, which is their sewer system, that may actually be subsiding, where there may be areas on the peninsula that are actually rising. So it's a very dynamic, and you cannot just say across the board, this area is going down, this area is going up, because it's much like a rug that's being wrinkled, and you've got ups and downs throughout it. So I think that the geologic evidence that has been looked at has shown that the peninsula has not been overtopped in the history of it, and so the areas where most of the development is fairly secure.
I just have to add one thing, that's okay.
One more.
When an earthquake actually strikes the peninsula, there's universal consensus on this. The peninsula will lift up during the earthquake, so whatever's experiencing now, it actually would be benefited by a Cascadia event. It would pop up possibly 2 or 3 meters. Which would mitigate.
Hopefully not all at once.
It would happen in about 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But just want to mention that.
I'm in accord with your interpretation, but don't be in South
Humboldt
Bay. Yeah, take my word for it. It's going the other way. I just wanted to add a footnote. Jennifer Kalp mentioned toxics, and she worked for Humboldt Bay Keeper, so sometimes people discount it as an environmental view, but I can tell you on toxics, I think she knows it better than or as good as our staff. They just use professors and stuff, and people generally turn to her. So when she talks about a mix or pattern or what needs to happen on toxics, it needs to be taken very seriously, because she's very good at that.
Thanks, Ron.
Well, fantastic. This is an action item for us. It's information, and please keep us informed. Therefore, it sounds like you are on the right track collectively. If there's something we can do for you, or you want to bring it back to us at any point to update us, please do so.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming today. Oh.
So I made an observation that today we've had four talks about wastewater treatment needs and sewer needs in communities where there aren't enough connections to actually pay for it. So we have Redway, Willow Creek, Trinity Pines, Nassimoa. So this is huge. I mean, this whole that we have all of these projects that need to be done is we need to figure out some way of funding them.
By the way, thank you, Division of Financial Assurance, for coming today.
And then,
being in support of our project.
Yes.
All right. Did you want to say something?
Well, what I was going to say is that I do not think that Dr. Tversky is here yet.
So you want to take the update first?
What I was going to suggest is I could do my EO report, which is closer to about 10 minutes, in which time frame I would expect Dr. Tversky to arrive. Because I think the item on priorities could take longer. So in the interest of his time, I would suggest we take up my EO report, which will be shorter. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.